It is the 21st, and it's the day before our spring break. Yay, week off. We have an exam. Now, many of you are going to take it online. You'll have the whole weekend, maybe into Monday or Tuesday or so, to take it. It are two parts, multiple choice, true, false. That's a Scantron part on Canvas. If you're familiar with Canvas, great. If you're not, contact me. There's plenty of resources. It's not that hard to play with. And then what we're going to do is we're going to pass out exam number two, the calculations part. So you can think of it as like a take-home exam, right? And you can scan and upload it to Canvas. Scan it and email it to me. Make sure your name, exam number two, class, or submit it when we come back. If you want to take it face-to-face, you can take it 10 o'clock after this class, 10:10, in this room, because there will be an exam here. Or tomorrow, I'll come, you know, send me an email or talk to me after class. We'll make an appointment at 8:35 or 10 o'clock or whatever time is good for you. I'm going to a meeting at 10, so 10 o'clock is not good, 11:30. And then Monday, the day we come back, the day before we come back, in the morning, contact me. I know at least one person wants to take it face-to-face. So it's up to you. You. Because what is it going to cover? What's it going to cover? Chapters 5, Introduction to Stocks. It's the stuff you got to know, folks. And guess what? We're going to ask it again after exam number 2. And exam number 3, it's going to be the same questions. You know, same concept, not exactly same questions. And then Chapter 6, all the calculations for valuation, which we will do again today. We will do them again with worksheet number 2. All right? So is that a deal? Yeah, because we're going to do them again in exam number 3, and then exam number 4, and then the final exam. So you might as well learn how to do them now. Okay. Mr. Moore, do I have you? No, I don't have you. Okay. All right, so let's get rid of this guy. How are we doing? No, I got it. I'm sorry. How are we doing? Whee! Almost 11%. Is that cool? You guys are awesome. Very, very good. Let's see who else. Deagra Delgadillo here? No. Josie Raul Chavez? No. Arturo? Yay, Arturo is here. Alain is here? No. Mr. Moore is here. Kyle Aram? And Audrey, Andrea? Joshua, Tony. All right. Okay, so. Not bad. What do you want to sell? Anything? You want to sell anything? Buy something else? No? Is the crash coming? People say, you hope so. Right, you hope so. People say, is there going to be a crash? I say, yeah. And they go, oh, what should we do? I said, nothing. But when's the crash? I don't know when it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. Yes.
I'm noticing PG went up a lot, and then, you know, it's kind of like not going up a lot.
Well, right. We bought it when the crisis, you know, when there's blood in the streets. We bought it when the crisis happened.
Sweet. So and
well, that's what often, you know, the buy and sell folks do. They'll get a pop, they'll take that profit, they call it profit taking, and that's more for traders, you know, speculators. And what we would really do, what we're going to do today, is we're going to take a look at the next 3 to 5 year period. All right, so we would decide, is that something we want to do? In fact, that's what I asked you the last couple of weeks. Like, come on, you want to... you want to take that profit and find some other place that will pop up? Hang on a minute. And then
I know with mutual funds you can switch to different funds without paying capital gains. Can you do that?
If it's inside your retirement account.
Okay.
If it's not in a retirement account, it's a regular account. No, the IRS is going to say, oh, you made a capital gain. You owe taxes on that. Same thing is true here.
Okay.
Plus, if it's within a year, if you don't wait a year and one day, you get taxed at your income rate, not at your capital gains rate. And we don't discuss taxes too much in here, but we do in the 121 class. Taxes on stock buys, stock sales, purchase and sell, if you hold them for more than a year, you get taxed at a better rate. In other words, the Congress is saying, come on, hold it for a long term. Did I answer your question? Yeah.
So, on paper, we gained
12,000. Yeah.
Which is 12%.
12%, pretty darn good.
And more than half of it.
Yeah.
Close to half of it is from one.
Yeah. You guys made a gutsy call. It was a gutsy call because we still don't know. I mean, we still do not know. But now, pretty much everyone has said, you know, they're not going to let PG&E. They're going to go through bankruptcy. They're going to go through bankruptcy. We know this. We know this. Now, what happens on the other side of a bankruptcy? How will they reemerge? Well, most people have said, or you know, investors have basically said, I guess the traders have basically said, that they think that the company will still be intact, the stock will still be around, that it won't be completely destroyed and a new company emerge. So Efron is saying, I think he's making the case that he wants to take the profits. Who wants to take profits from PG&E? Let's raise your hands high, come on! How many people want to hang on to it? It looks like the hangers don't want to change. I saw this one cute tip jar. The change is difficult. Leave it here. No, afraid of change? Leave it here. No, it was a tip jar. Afraid of change, not that kind of change. Anyway, so let's hang on to it. Let's be buy and hold. Now, in my never-ending quest to get you to read books, one of my students in this class, can you see that? No, I guess not. Right? Yeah, no, I'll do it. She said, you know, we made this, this was at Thanksgiving, right? This was during Thanksgiving break. She goes, we made this trip a long time ago, so do you mind if I miss the week of Thanksgiving? Which means she missed one, you know, one class because Thanksgiving's quick. But she goes, I'm going to Puerto Vallarta. And so I'll read one up on Wall Street while I'm there. So she sent me this photo of her. So if anybody wants to go to Cancun or Cabo, as long as you take, okay, on the right-hand side, up twice. Thank you. As long as you take one up on Wall Street or a random walk down Wall Street, and then you can borrow it. I know, it's silly. Okay, silliness. Okay, let's continue. Where were we? We had gone through the price models. We have gone. Oh, joke. Who's got a? Oh, she's ready. Who's got a? Okay. You missed Tuesday. We had two bad jokes. Okay. She writes them all down. She's ready.
Okay. Have you ever heard of Murphy's Law?
I've heard of Murphy's Law. If anything that can go wrong will go wrong at the worst possible moment.
Have you heard of
Coleslaw, yes, it's very tasty. Coleslaw. Coleslaw, I like coleslaw. Coleslaw. Yeah, what is it? What's the end? No, it's just they know. It's good with sauerkraut or something like that.
Thinly sliced cabbage dipped in mayo.
Yes, thinly sliced cabbage dipped in mayo. Coleslaw. Good with sandwiches. Yeah, that's pretty bad, too. Okay. All right, so now, we had gone through the price ratio models. We'll do them again today. We went through the dividend discount models. We'll go through them again today. And now, we had just introduced, before we left on Tuesday, the value line. Because what we're doing here is making assumptions that we know are not going to be true. You know, we're saying, okay, what happens if it goes up 8%? Well, it might go up 9%. It might go down 10%. What happens if the price is this in 3 to 5 years? Well, we don't know. So how are we going to even come up with any kind of numbers? Well, as we said, one of the most respected, I think still one of the best, is called the value line. It's not cheap. It's, you know, $50 a month, but you go to the library, it's free. Can you find all the data here? Now, this is from the 7th edition. What happened is they were using McGraw-Hill for all the editions until the 8th. And the reason is because McGraw-Hill split itself apart. McGraw-Hill happened to be the company that publishes your textbook. They publish a lot of textbooks. But they also own Standard & Poor's. You ever hear of them? Standard & Poor's 500, I think you've heard of them, right? And so what happened is they split it up. They split it up into two companies. So the textbook company went on its way, and S&P Standard & Poor's went on its way. So after that, they decided they wouldn't use McGraw-Hill anymore. They used a different company. But look at this thing. I know it's a sip from the fire hose, but it's showing you the data throughout the years. And then it's extrapolating. Remember we said, where do we get earnings per share? Well, here's the earnings per share in 2010. And what they believe, by 2013, 2014, the earnings per share should be $3.50. The cash flow per share, the sales per share, the dividends per share. So you see, we made some assumptions when we took a look at a couple of the problems. We said, okay, we think these dividends are going to be this, and this year, this and that year, this and that year. And then look at the stock price. You see, here's the stock price. It's these little lines, high, low, you know. And then here it was in 2009. And they think the price is going to be anywhere between 49 or so and about 68. Now, are they guaranteeing that that's going to happen? No, not at all. But this is, they're pretty good. You know, they've done a pretty good job over decades. They'll be the first to tell you we're not right all the time. In fact, we're wrong most of the time. But this is what we do. We make assumptions and projections about the future. And then they have something that's a must-read for everybody. They have their analysis, their 90-second or so analysis of the company. And they talk about the business itself. They'll also talk about the industry they're in. But that's on a separate sheet of paper. And they're right next to one another. All the publishers will be right next to one another in the pages. I should have brought the darn thing. So over in the library, we got the 600. I didn't bring it. But I could show it to you. It's this thick, which is not much. That's only 600. When you go to the library, it's this thick. It's 3,000. And they usually, sometimes they'll have it in a huge binder like this, or they'll have it in several binders. They'll have it in several binders. And what you do is you go to the index, look up the company you're interested in, and then run on over to the page. And you know, thousands of pages. Cool. And then, remember we were looking for the annual rates of the sales per share, earnings per share. This is what they think. Dividends per share the past 5 years and an estimated next few years. The growth rate of the dividends and the like. So it's like a sip from the fire hose. You look at all this stuff and a lot of it you just ignore. But you start keying in on certain things and then peeling back layers until you are pretty familiar with the darn thing. Okay, so let's put value lines to the test. In late 2009, the price of McGraw-Hill was $28, $29. And their price prediction for 2013 was in the range from about $48 to $68. Well, on February 15, 2013, their price closed at about $45. Pretty good, huh? Pretty good. Actually, darn pretty good. And when they made this prediction, I don't know if you remember because it was almost 10 years ago, but at the end of 2009, the stock market had rallied. The Antichrist had been elevated. You know, Obama was the Antichrist. And I'll never forget a student sitting right over where Yang's sitting. She was from Texas, and she said that this was the day after the inauguration. She said that her family had kept the kids home from school because the Antichrist had been elevated and the rapture was about to happen. And I said, are you serious? She said, oh yes, I'm very serious. A little town in Texas. Yes. That was 2009, folks. Not 1189. 2009, there'd still be people back in the Middle Ages. Actually, the rapture didn't come around until about the 1600s. They didn't start thinking about that. Anyway, So when they made this prediction, the stock market had rallied, but many people were still predicting the end of the world. And by the way, have you noticed that some people are always predicting the end of the world? There's this one guy, Porter Stansberry. If you ever see his ads on Yahoo Finance or MarketWatch, something like that, click on them because that means they have to pay. They'll take you to this webpage telling you that we predicted the crash of 2008. We were there when the crash of 2008. They also predicted the crash of 2002, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, 11, 12. See, if you keep predicting a crash, you're eventually going to be right, right? So I like Value Line. That's one of my favorite things to do on a Sunday or a Saturday. I love my wife. She reads voraciously historical novels. about the end of the world in 1189. And I go and I bring my laptop and start playing with the value line. And that's a fun day. I know you guys don't like libraries, but libraries are cool. So here, this one's from, which one was this one? This is from the, which one is this? This is the fourth edition. The fourth edition, right. So it's early, it's 2005 or so. And the price is about $47. And they're predicting it's going to be anywhere from about 70 to 82. So how did they do? And the price prediction for late 2009 range, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, it was in around 66 to 80, like 3 or 4 years later. The price was hovering around $24. What happened? Well, it reached $70 in 2007. So they were actually a little early. You see that? They predicted it was going to be 66 to 82 anywhere in 2008 or 9, and in 70 it was in 2007 it hit 70. And then it started falling as the credit market started reacting to the home loan crisis. Remember that McGraw-Hill at the time owned Standard & Poor's. They're the people who were saying that these mortgage loans, these bonds, these which we'll get the bonds in a few weeks, these bonds that were based on these mortgages that people basically said, yeah, I'm making $100,000, no doc, liar loans. These loans were starting to fail. And they had, Standard & Poor's, had given them AAA ratings, which is the same rating that the United States government had until 2011 when they knocked down the government, the United States government. They should have raised it to quadruple A, which they don't have. But anyway, it then started plummeting. McGraw-Hill, Standard & Poor's, started plummeting. And the entire financial sector started plummeting. And then, of course, we had the crisis. And Value Line, in the first few, when you play with Value Line, in the first few booklets, they have their market commentary, and they also have their model portfolios. They show you what a conservative investor or more aggressive investor would do. And they also have their market, I said, they have their market commentary. So I'm reading this as the world is starting to fall apart. And they're saying, you know, we think it's going to not be too bad. We think we'll muddle through. Things are not looking so good. But we're confident that it's getting really bad. You know, so they were not thinking it was going to be that bad either, although they did believe there was going to be correction. And the mid-2007 prediction was even uglier. But let's go all the way back to the third edition, where in early 2003, it was about $54, and they expected it to be anywhere from 90 to 110. Now, that's because it's split. That's why it's double, because they had split in the intervening stages. So anywhere from 54 up to 90 and 110. Now, that's a pretty bold prediction, don't you think? Doubling, basically, within a few years. Check out how much that is by looking at the present value or future value multipliers. That's like 15% a year. And sure enough, they predicted that the price of McGraw-Hill would be around 90 to 110. That's because they split for 201. You have to divide these prices by 2 to compare them to the previous two predictions. Hooray for the Value Line! They were bang on the money. They reached 120 level by the end of 2006. So I get a kick when some investors trash the Value Line. They call them fuddy-duddies. You know, they're long-term oriented. They made mistakes too, like everybody else. But I would sure love to see how those investors' long-term results stack up against the long-term results of the Value Line. Who do you think would be better results? So now, are you sort of seeing why I keep saying 3 to 5 years? You see what's going on? I mean, Value Line wouldn't dare go farther than that. You know, the world changes so quickly, and the prospects for different companies change quickly. But you see why you can at least view what's going to happen in the next 3 to 5 years. It's hazy, you know. It's just a real fuzzy picture. But at least we have something to key on. We have something that we can point ourselves toward these companies. Now, we have done the calculations. Are you excited? We're going to do them again. Are they really that hard? Not really. The conceptually, it's a little tricky, but you'll figure that out as you do them. But you do them. So now, once you've done that, is this okay now? I got the stock. I'm going to buy it. Yeah? Don't you think it wouldn't it be that easy? That you go to take a freshman level introduction to investments class, and now I know how to be the best stock picker. No. Once we have finished all of our valuation calculations, what should we do? Should we really place much value in our predictions? The answer is no. No. Rather, we should hurl them into the vast ocean along with the ashes of our dead pets and relatives. Or shred them into millions of little pieces and use them as confetti at our next party. Or my favorite is burn them in a huge bonfire as we dance naked under the full moon. Basically, throw them away. After you've done all your calculations, throw it away and ask yourself, do I really want to own this company? Do I really want to own Nike? Do I want to own FedEx? Do I want to own Chevron? Do I want to own these companies? Warren Buffett says it this way. If you could buy Chevron, say you wanted to buy an oil company, if you could buy Chevron or ExxonMobil or ConocoPhillips or whatever, or a bank, you want to own U.S. Bank or Wells Fargo, if you really would want to own that company and you had the tens of billions of dollars to do it, and you would buy it because you want to have a business like a shoe shop or a pizza shop or a coffee shop, go ahead and buy 10 shares or 5 shares, right? So because then you're part owner. Does that make sense? And when you read, you're going to read one up on Wall Street, yes? Read one up on Wall Street. Or the random walk down Wall Street. And this is a little bit big. I assume he didn't use big ones. This is before the internet, right? What Peter Lynch says he did is he would keep all the notes, all the paper, all the clippings from newspapers and all his calculations in a 3-ring binder for each company. Right? He didn't have a microcomputer yet. Maybe he got one by that time. Yeah, every company had its own binder. He had walls of pages. And then he would, after he had done everything, he would hold it up and he would give himself the 90-second story. He would say, this is Nike. I'm buying Nike because they are the premier tennis shoe company globally. They're kicking Adidas's butt in China. Whatever the reason. Or this is, Apple. I'm selling Apple because people are no longer lining up the block, around the block to buy their products. You give yourself the 90-second spiel. And then afterwards, he would either buy it or sell it or hold it or whatever. Does that make sense? That makes sense, folks? What? Pitch it to yourself. Pitch why you're going to sell it, why you're going to buy it. And then if the story changes, then you have at least an idea. I guess he would write it down. I don't know, he didn't say that. Everyone's different. Everyone's different. But that's my story, and I'm sticking with it. Cool? So now, let's take a look. What companies did we look at last week? Do you remember what some of the companies we looked at last week? Do you remember 3M? 3M, what do they make? Can I make that bigger? Yeah, Scotch tape. Post-it notes. And lots of stuff. How's that? Is that good? So remember we said, let's assume that the dividends are growing. Look, how do we compute that dividend growth rate? How do you compute? Do you know how to do it? You know how to compute a growth rate? You take the, okay, that's the formula. We're going to take a look at this at the bonus assignment. You take this year minus last year, and you divide it by last year, right? So you could take the dividend from this year, subtract it from last year, and then divide it by last year. And then do it again. And then do it again and do it again. And then average those up. And you'll have the growth rate of the dividends over the last 5 or 10 years. And then they think by 2023, the dividends are going to be about $7.10. So for our discounted cash flow model, or the dividend discount model, we could then extrapolate. So maybe what do you think? $6.20, $6.40, $6.80. You see? Do we know that it's going to be right? We know it's going to be wrong. I mean, maybe one in 30 times somebody actually bang on the money. But at least that gives us something to utilize. And then, what do they think the price is going to be? Where is it? To the bottom. I'll look it up. It's like the January 11th. They come out every few weeks, new ones. Okay, so the price was $190. They think the price is going to be anywhere from about $260 or so to $320. Would you want to own 3M? Is it an exciting company making brand new thingamabobs that everyone has to have? Or social media or marijuana? Or no. But is it going to go away? Well, I don't think so. But yeah, eventually, someday, 10,000 years from now, nothing lasts forever. But if we have a 3 to 5 year time frame, this is a pretty cool thing. Do you want to do one? Okay. So let's do the discounted cash flow model. A year. Let's go out 3 years. 2019, 2020, 2021. So the future cash values. Future cash flows. And remember, there's spreadsheets that do this and make it a hell of a lot easier. Okay. So what's the current dividend? Tough question, folks. Everyone should say? $5.44. Okay, $5.44. So what do we think next year? Look at that dividend raises. Look at those dividend raises. I'm sorry. That was 2018. 2019. I'm sorry. Okay. So if that's 2582, and we see that those are pretty big jumps. What do you want to do for 2020? $6? Maybe 604? $6.10, Mati says? What do you think? $6.10? Going once, going twice? Okay, and now what about 2021? $6.80? I think that might be a little bit tough because we're getting 7 here, 10. How about 6? Would you do 6.32? Remember, are we trying to be precise? Everyone should say no. Wait till I ask you. Are we trying to be precise?
No.
Okay, good. So 6.32. Plus, what do we think the stock price is going to be in 2021, huh? By the way, this is a logarithmic scale. What does that mean? The numbers get smaller as they get higher. Okay. So about 2, would you say? How about 2.40? Would you be happy with 2.40? You see how precise we are? So add 2.40 to that. So PVM of what? Now we have to ask ourselves. So here's our future cash flows. This is 2.46.32. We add these two together. 2.46.32. So what required rate of return would you be happy with? What do you want to get from your stock? 8%, 18%, 5%, 10. You're a real talkative bunch this morning. Yes.
Why do you only add the last two?
Because what happens in this year, I mean, these are dividends, right? Dividend in year number one. Here's the dividend in year number two. Here's the dividend in year number three. And then we believe that the stock is going to be worth about 240. So we can think of that, even though we might not want to sell. We're going to do this continually. We're going to, you know, next year we'll do it again. We're going to do it again. And so we might say, no, let's hang on to 3M. We're very happy with, you know, 6, 7, 8% or whatever it's giving us or more. But we could think of that stock price as a future cash flow, as money coming into our pockets. Are you with me? So that's why we add the two. So the expected stock price. Don't do the current stock price. Expected total. Expected stock price. Okay, so now here's the tricky part.
What required rate of return do you want?
You want 10%. Lara wants 10%. Is that a reasonable expectation? Well, we'll see. But let's... What's the multiplier for 10%? Everyone's just saying, you don't answer me. I think there's a lot. They don't know. They don't even know what I'm saying. What's the multiplier for 10%? 0.909. And some of you are probably thinking, I'm not going to answer him. I know the answer. I'm not going to answer him. Screw that. Okay. What's the multiplier for year number two? 0.826. But then there's some people are like, oh, I don't even know what the hell he's talking about. What the hell are all these numbers on the screen? But that's why I'm asking you. I want to see. Dyslexia. What I do? Can I put it back? Oh, no. Not yet. Okay. And what's the year number three? 0.751. Okay. So now what we do is we multiply 5.82 times 0.909, 6.10 times 0.826. And while you're doing that, I'm going to get a spreadsheet up on the screen that we can utilize while you're doing that. All right? That sound like a plan? Whoever found this thing thought, oh, this thing's going to be really cool. I bet you they never used it. I'm sure they never used this keyboard. It's like, come on, sweetheart. Okay. Okay, cool. Okay. What a great class. All right, so what are the discounted cash flows? Multiply the 246.32. 184.99. Add those three together, and you get about $195. See how precise we are? What's the current stock price? Let's go run over and to the Infernal Net. And, you need to turn it to the computer. 3M company. Current stock price is $209. Do you think we might get 10%? Maybe. But the model is saying probably not. But pretty close, you know. My current stock price is $209, $210, $210, $195. Now what we could do is run it again at 9% or 8%. But isn't that a pain in the patootie? That's why we have spreadsheets. So if you go to the class website, remember the class website? Everyone should say yes. Make me feel good. Okay. And you'll see that we have these sample spreadsheets. There's Pretzels Unlimited. That's from the presentation. And then Jimba Jamba Jumba Juice from worksheet number one. Well, it's so easy to just change it. Take this guy. Now, the problem is this is mine. You can't have this. It's view only. You file, make a or download. If you want to use Excuse, Excel. If you want to use Excel, you can download it and use it in Excel. Or in Google Docs, you make a copy, and let's use something incredibly descriptive, copy of worksheet number one spreadsheet. And then you will, instead of using Jimba Jamba Jumba Juice, do 3M. Now, what was the cash flow for year number one?
5.82.
What was the cash flow for year number two?
6.1.
And year number three?
6.32.
Well, you have to add 6.32 plus
246.
I'm sorry, 2, what did we say? 240, right?
Yeah.
So 246.32. And then look. See, look at it. It does the calculation for you. Now. Current price is 210, right? Current price is 210. Now, if you just want to change the required rate of return, 0.909. Oops. What happened here? Oh, poopy. Why isn't it working? Oh, no, not 0.909. 0.10. 0.909. Wait, 10%. Right? 10%. Now, what happens if we change it to 9%? Ah! Oh, it's... Do you think I know what I'm doing? Oh, look! At 9%, what did I type in? I put type 0.909, 90%. Yeah, no, wrong. 90%. You see? 9%, it thinks it's about 200. If it's 8%, then it thinks it's 206. So the model is saying, you might get 8% or so. Is that really what we're going to get? Hell no. Would you buy 3M?
Yep.
Is it going to explode on the upside? Now, is it going to implode on the downside? Do you see the difference between this company? Let me show you another company, one of the companies I actually asked you to do. Look at it chapter 5, and that is Biogen. Biogen iDEC is a company based in Boston and La Jolla and San Diego. Its headquarters is in Boston. But it's one of these biotech companies that are producing or developing these drugs that could change the world. Because, folks, Alzheimer's disease, is going to be rampant. Because we're living longer, which is a cool thing. But, you know, so we don't have as much heart disease and cancer. We're going to get rid of cancer in the next 5-10 years. But us old folks, we're going to be losing our memory. We're going to lose our brain cells. So all these companies are working on Alzheimer's, and it's a tricky thing to work on. And look at what happened in one day. Cratered 28% today. Tuesday, right? Why? Because it looks like that Alzheimer's drug is $500 million down the drain. So you see the difference between a 3M and a Biogen iDEC? Does that mean you should never invest in a Biogen iDEC? No, it doesn't mean that. But just remember, this is far more speculative than something like 3M. Cool? Yes, Linda? Oh, no question. I love questions, especially when they're easy. Okay, what about now? Let's take a look at McDonald's. McDonald's. Price, I forget what day, whatever day. I'll tell you what day it is. This is back in November, so this one needs to be updated. But they were looking at 184 in 3 to 4 or 5 years, anywhere from 180 or so to 220. Plus, look at the dividends, 472 now, 575 in a few years. Would you be happy with that? Is it going to explode on the upside? Look at Target. Target's actually looking. They like Target here. Look, price is 68. They think. Oops. They think the price in a few years, anywhere from 90 to 125, 130. Dividends, whoops, or dividends, 264 to 320. These are blue chip stocks, right? Blue chip stalwarts, Peter Lynch calls them. And then, how about Altria? Where is Joshua? He's not here. He was ready to buy Altria. 49, 80 to 110. Dividends, $3, $4, $4.24. Cigarettes, ciggies. Smoke. What?
I already have it.
You already own it?
Yeah.
Cool. Laura, it's already. How about Philip Morris International?
I was thinking about it.
How about British American Tobacco, Camel? They're paying a better.
Compare.
Compare them, yeah, compare them. British American Tobacco. What is it? BTI? BTI, yeah. Laura's going to teach the class. Okay. 41, 51. Look at the dividends. 6.5%. What? Oh, sorry. Can't take a joke. Okay. British American Tobacco. 6.5%. Cigarettes. Ciggies. Okay. Back to the camera. And who else? Now, Pfizer. Drug companies, again, drug companies are tricky, but they think, you know, 40, 50 to 60, dividends growing. Now, what about companies that don't pay real rich dividends? Actually, Apple's been increasing their dividend smartly lately. But look what they think about Apple. Remember, Apple's, what, $800 billion company? A few months ago, it was $1 trillion. That's a very expensive company. Look at their dividend growth. They didn't start paying dividends until 2012, 38 cents. Now they're up to $3. And ValueLine thinks by 2023 they'll be up to $5. The stock was selling for about 166. They think it's going to be anywhere from about 280 to 390. Remember, the PE is not that high. The PE at this time was 12. I think it's gone up a lot, though. Let's take a look at Apple. Oh, no, PE is still, 16. So it's gone up somewhat, but not like Netflix or Amazon. So you see, folks, they're out there. You decide which one you gravitate to. If you notice that I try not to tell you this is the company you should buy, right? This company. I try not to tell you this company. I try to get you to think about companies that have been around for a long time, you know, rich dividends and the like. But you're going to gravitate to the companies that you think, that you are comfortable with. So, should we never buy a company like Netflix? And they're not too happy with it. $3.25 recent price. They think it can be anywhere from $2.70 or so, $2.80, up to $4.12, $4.20. So, pretty speculative, right? And let's see what they say about it. They're not too happy about it. Okay. This untimely stock is valued more than 50% above last year's same period level. Thus, there is little investment appeal at this juncture. Are they excited about Netflix? Is the rest of the world excited about Netflix? Why? Because it's been doing so well. But we don't really see it on the graph too easily. But there are times when Netflix has dropped, like three or four times, it's dropped in half. You know, it's very volatile. These look like little bitty things, but this is a logarithmic scale. So that's 60 down to 30. 60, it did it twice. 60 down 30, 60 down 30. And then here, you can't even see it because the volume, this is the volume, the one thing at the bottom, which I don't pay too attention, mostly because they're big companies I look at. But look, that doesn't look like much of a drop, but that's from 120 down to 80. You know, 40% drop. So it's going to be volatile. And that doesn't mean you shouldn't invest in it. Now, how about real excitement here? Anybody play, I should have done the other one, Activision Blizzard. Anybody play Grand Theft Auto?
It's like Zynga too, right?
Zynga? Isn't that, that's another Zynga game. These are games, take two. Anybody play Grand Theft Auto? Yeah, this is the company that makes Grand Theft Auto, Rockstar, and... What else do they make? They make a few other video games, which is kind of like a drug. Are they excited about Take-Two Entertainment? It's 107. They think in the next 3 years, anywhere from 80 to 120. Plus, do they pay any dividends?
No.
So, are you starting to get a feel for different kinds of companies and ones that are attractive to you, interesting to you, and others are going to thank you. Remember, there are thousands out there. Thousands of companies. You will never... That's the cool thing about investing, I think,
is that you'll never know everything. You'll never learn everything. Company, I mean, there's never an end to what you can learn and explore and be excited about, in my humble opinion. Cool? Okay, so now let's go back to chapter 6 and do worksheet number 2. Go through worksheet number 2. How about that? Is that cool? All right, so what I'm going to do, because we don't have too much board, is I'm going to go back to the presentation and use this version. Where did it go? Here it is. Use this little puppy to bump ba-da-ba. Okay, cool. And then don't forget, I don't know, the bonus assignment. No. Don't let us leave today without talking about the bonus assignment, okay? Alright, don't let me leave. Unless you want to do that right now. You want to do the bonus assignment right now? Okay, let's go back. Alright. Okay, Okay, let's go to the bonus. Okay, so the assignment, hint, I think I already said this. The assignment will look very much like worksheet number 1, will look very much like worksheet number 2, and will look very much like exam, which I have in my hot little hand. And so here's the exam. Let's pass this out now. But the exam has some stuff from chapter 5, too. Has some of the worksheet from worksheet number 5. So this is a take-home exam. Work on it over the week. Upload it using Canvas or scan it and email it to me. Some of you, the online students, actually take pictures with their smartphones and upload the graphic, the JPEG or whatever. Some of them are very clear. Others are a little, so please look at it carefully and make sure that I'll be able to read it. Because I don't mind, I can do that. But yeah, just hand it in when you get back. The favorite thing for you to upload through Canvas is PDF files. PDF files are very cool. I can comment on them. I can highlight things. Can't really do that easily with the graphics. So we have extras. Everybody got one? Okay. But if you have a scanner, the scanner will almost always create PDF files. PDF files are the best. So here's the assignment sheet. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry, over there. Okay, did you get one?
Yeah.
Okay, pass these two back. Okay. Okay, so here's the assignment, which looks just like worksheet number 1, which looks like worksheet number... The chapter 6 packet? Yeah. Chapter 6 packet? Yeah, you need it. Anybody not have the chapter 6 packet today? Okay. Pass this over to Alex, please. Pass that back to Alex. Because we're going to do worksheet number 2 now. Oh, no, let's take a look at the bonus assignment. Now, the bonus assignment is basically, folks, remember I told you that I go to the library and have a good old time? Packet, yes. And have a great old time at the library? Well, this is what I'm asking you to do. Go to the library, Southwestern. We have the Value Line 600, has the 600 largest companies. I'm not sure if all of them. Basically, 600 very large companies. And you're going to basically do worksheet number 1, worksheet number 2, the assignment, on your own. Pick a company, and I have a list of companies at the bottom. You can choose others. But the problem is if you choose companies like Take-Two Interactive or Activision or Zynga, it's not, dividend discount models aren't going to work. But here are a whole list of companies. So you can spend your whole lifetime just on these companies, and they're all very large companies. Most of them you've heard of. You ever hear of Clorox? Clorox. What the hell do they make? Bleach. They've been making bleach for 160 years, right? 180 years. Has it changed much in 160 years? No. Schmuckers. With a name like Schmuckers. Do they still use that commercial? Do they still use that? The name like Schmuckers. Bristol-Myers Squibb, drug company, ADP, anybody get their paychecks from ADP, right? So check them out. And you can use any of those companies. But if you use your own, please, make sure it's a big company. Unless you really want to do the, if you use a company like Take-Two Entertainment, Interactive, or you use Zynga or something like that, you're not going to get any dividends. So you can use the discounted cash flow model to extrapolate the price in the future. You can use the price models, but those dividend discount models, they're not going to work because there's no dividends. But flip through the value line index, the 3,000 one, and then there's another one for small and medium-sized companies, which is, I forget how many thousands, but don't work with them. And gawk at the sheer number of publicly traded companies. Could any one person ever become capable, qualified to give advice on more than a small percentage of the companies available for investment? Can you now understand why mutual funds have entire teams of analysts and portfolio managers? The Value Line Index also contains market commentary, sample portfolios. What do they say about the current market condition? So what you're going to do is you're going to do the price models, which we're going to do in the first, that's the first section of the assignment sheet and the first section of the worksheets, and then do the constant perpetual growth model and the discounted cash flow model. But remember that the models may produce aberrant results, such as division by zero or negative values, depending upon the required rate of return. If this happens, you can adjust the required rate of return up or down until you get reasonable values, or simply display not applicable. It doesn't work. Cool? So there's your assignment. Go to the library. You've heard of libraries, right? You've been to a library? They're really cool. And don't worry, those librarians, I know they look scary, but they're actually very friendly. They'll help you. So now let's get to worksheet number 2. Pull that out.
Are you going to pass that out, or is it
It's in your packet. It's in your packet. It should be. Yeah, it's on the actually on page number 2. It's on page from the back of the front page. Did I mess up? No, that's the worksheet number 2. She was asking about the bonus assignment. The bonus assignment's on the second page. Okay, now, yeah, worksheet number 2 is page number 7. So let's go back to this guy, turn that guy on, and... Are you getting an education? Okay, so we did the bonus assignment, and now let's do, if we have time, let's do Amylin, I forget the symbol. If we have time, if we don't have time, it's okay. I'll show it to you later. Okay, so worksheet number 2, page 7. The price of Disney. You ever hear of them? Disney. What did they just raise the price again? One day, how much? $200, right? $200.
They raised it by $3.
But now one day to go for an adult, if you don't get any discounts, $200 to go to Disneyland. One day, yes.
Did they also buy a 21st Century Fox? Mm-hmm.
They're currently buying 20. Not all of it. They're not getting Fox News or... Are they getting Fox Sports? I don't think they're getting Fox Sports. They're not getting Fox News. Mr. Murdoch wants his propaganda machine. Yes. They're getting the media part. Are they getting Fox Sports?
No,
They're getting Fox Entertainment, which are the movies and the TV shows and the like. They're not getting the sports. They're not getting the news. And there's another part they're not getting. But yeah. What?
I think
it closed yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Cool. Okay, so Walt Disney, the Walt Disney Company, that owns, what else do they own? Star Wars, Marvel, they own the Muppets, ESPN, ABC, yeah. Are they too powerful? No. No. Okay, the current price is $114 per share. Their earnings per share is $7.30. And we go back and look at the five-year average P.E., and we find it's 16. Again, we could do that on our own. We could use the value line. So now, using the price model, using the price ratio model, what would we expect their earnings to be? Now, you remember the formula? You take the five-year average, or three-year, you decide, times the earnings per share times 1 plus the earnings per share growth rate. Yes, yes, yes. Remember this formula from last week? No? Okay. Go back over the presentation. That's why we put it online. You can do the online ones. Okay, so what's the 5-year average? 16. What are the earnings per share? Everyone should say $7.30. Wait till I ask you. What's the earnings per share? $0.30. And what? Oh, I didn't put the growth rate. And the analyst or Value Line or maybe Disney themselves or somebody, your brother-in-law says, we think they're going to grow by 10% next year. Growth rate equals 10%. So 1 plus 10%, that's 1.10. So you multiply those three together. 128. People in the cheap seats? Yeah, I got our calculators if you need a calculator. 99-cent calculator. I really splurged. Where's the one? This one I paid $1.47. What? I'm sorry, question? Gabriel, question? No? Okay. So everybody see that? And then 2 and 3 are basically the same thing. They're exactly the same calculation, except in 2 we use cash flow per share. Cash flow per share. And we find that the cash flow per share is $9.50. The five-year cash flow per share, cash flow per share ratio, what is that? 13? And we expect the growth of the cash to be 9%. Everybody seeing this? If you're not, call like this. Go help. You don't have to say a word. Just go help. Okay. So what's the formula? What's the 5-year cash flow per share? 13. Everybody wants to say 13. See, if you don't say anything, then I think, okay, I got to go back. Let's make sure everybody understands it. Because I'm more interested in understanding it when you just go like this. I don't know what to think. That's why it's hard, even harder teaching online. Because you don't know what the hell's going on. And then they disappear and you send them emails. Please contact me. You know, you haven't logged in 2 weeks. Please contact me. You haven't logged in 3 weeks. You haven't logged in. And then eventually you drop them. Say, sorry, I had to drop you because the state of California requires that students materially participate or else we have to drop them. And then 2 weeks later you get, why did you drop me? And you know, why did you drop me? Okay, so what's the 5-year cash flow per share average?
13.
And what are the current what's the current cash flow per share? 9.50 times 1 plus the expected growth rate of 9% or 1.09. 13 times 9.50 times 1.09. 134. 62. Again, you know. All you got to do is ballpark it. Piece of cake. All right, number 3 is exactly the same, except we use sales per share. Sales per share. All right, sales per share. And then the sales per... What is it? Yeah, sales per share. Okay, sales per share equals $39.76. The price-to-sales ratio, I'm sorry, price, I did this wrong. Price, this is price-to-cash-flow. Price-to-cash-flow, I'm sorry, I wrote the wrong. I'm getting old. Okay, price-to-earn, the P is always in the top. Price-to-earnings, price-to-cash-flow, price-to-sale. That is what, 3? 3.1. And then the growth rate is expected to be 8%. So again, the 5-year average, 3.1. Times the sales per share, $39.76, times 1 plus the growth rate, 1 plus 8% is 1.08. Make sure everybody understands that. So 3.1 times 39.6 times 1.8, 133. So notice that a company like Disney, which is fairly stable, you know, these models tend to work better for them. In fact, that's the one that they used throughout the editions. They used they used Intel and these with Disney. And the Intel ones were horrible. The Disney ones are closer. But again, do we believe that this is what the price is going to be? Maybe. probably not. Plus or minus 50%, right? Remember your standard deviation. We'll come back to that when we after we're done. Stocks and bonds. We'll revisit. Get rid of that. We'll revisit standard deviation. Thank you. Okay, number four. Notice that number four is a utility. Which model do we use? Let's read it first, Payano. The zero growth model, right. American Electric Power, which is a real company, folks, look them up, utility, they're selling for $81.40, right? They've consistently paid $2.60 in dividends. And actually, just recently, they raised it just a tiny bit, but they've been mostly paying dividends. They're a utility. And our expected rate of return is 5%. So what would we be willing to pay for a utility that isn't growing their dividends? Which model do we use?
Zero growth model.
It'll be in the exact same order on the exam as it is on the assignment, as it is on the worksheets. So what's the formula? You take the annual dividends, and the formula sheets are in your handout. You're going to need, in your packet, you're going to need the formula sheet when you take the exam. Annual dividends, what was that, Efren?
Divided by the
required or expected or desired rate of return, they all mean the same thing.
We determine.
What we determine, right? What we decide. We decide it's going to be 5%. So the annual dividends are $2.68 divided by 0.05, 5%. And what do we get? $53.60, but the price is $81.40. What do people say about this? It's called the zero growth model. Zero growth model. Try to write sideways. See how it works. No, it didn't work. That's the schwa. It's backwards. The schwa is backwards. The zero growth model. Because the dividends are not growing. And that's what typically people will buy utilities. Or at least they did over the last 800 years. You buy dividends because they're stable. I'm sorry, you buy utilities because they're stable. They pay dividends. People are not going to all of a sudden decide they want to take cold showers in the dark and eat raw food. Some of them. But this is why what the current price of some of these companies really scares me. Because this is, what is that? To get the actual, what people are actually, worth, what they're thinking is worth, you just do the inverse. You take the dividends and divide them, the annual dividend, and divide them by the market price. So the dividends are $2.68. The dividend is $81.40. This is another, remember that this is called the dividend yield. And it's actually on your exam because if you did it in chapter 5, 268, 8140, 3.3%. So investors now are willing to get 3.3% from a utility, which scares me. That means people, I think, are bidding up the prices of utilities.
I got 0.134.
0.13?
Divide the annual dividend by the required rate of return?
Yeah, and our required rate of return was 5%. Try it again.
And you divide that by 2.68?
No, 2.68 are the dividends. Take 2.68 and divide it by 0.05. Try it again. You got them reversed. You put them upside down. 2.68 divided by the 5% that we require, 0.05.
You
multiply, maybe, yeah. You might have multiplied. So, yeah, we think we would be willing to pay this much. But people are willing to pay this much, and because of that, they're basically saying they're happy with 3.3%, which I think is way too low for a utility. I want to get paid personally. Everyone's different, remember? That's why there's chocolate, vanilla, and some people like strawberry. Okay, cool? Now, number five.
Wait.
Whoa.
How do we know when to use the
okay. If you see a utility which has been paying dividends consistently for many years, which one do you use? Plus, they will be in the same order. There'll be the price models, then there'll be the zero growth model, and the next will be the
constant perpetual
growth model. The next one will be the constant perpetual growth model. Which is basically the same model, right? Annual dividends divided by our required rate of return, but we add two terms for the growth. We times the annual dividends times 1 plus the growth rate, the dividend growth rate. And we subtract our dividend growth rate in the bottom here. I'm sorry? This is the constant perpetual growth model. Do you have the formula sheet with you? Yeah, they're in the same order. So let's read it. I'll read it. Number 5. Yeah, make sure you do these over and over and over again because you're going to be doing them for exam number 3. And you're going to be doing them for exam number 4. And you're going to be doing them for the final exam. Because if there's one thing you want to do before you leave, you're going to learn how to discount a future stream of cash flow. Or else, I don't know what else. Okay, you ever hear waste management? They pick up the trash, right? Exactly. Well, yeah, there's a long history of hanky-panky in the trash industry. Okay, so it's currently selling for about $101. And it's paying $2.05 a share, dividends. And we go back, we look at the value line, or we look online or something like that, and we find that they've been growing their dividend consistently at 6%. You with me? So, what's the dividends? Or you want to say 2.05. What's the dividend? Okay. Multiplied times 1 plus the growth rate, 1.06, divided by the required rate of return, which we believe we're interested in 9%, minus the growth rate, 6%, so 0.09 minus 0.06. So what is 2.05 times 1.06? 2.173, got it? Yeah? Divided by 9 minus 6 is 0.03. And what's the price? $72.40. So are we kind of excited about a stock? Yeah, because when people always talk about the newest exciting stock, new, brand new, it's going to be, I say, have you looked at waste management? And they go, what do? They pick up the trash. Because are people going to be playing with Farsbook and Tedder in 30 years? I don't know. But are people going to be picking up the trash in 30 years? Oh, yeah. Now, hopefully there'll be a whole lot less of it, but we'll still be picking it up. So, to me... Well, I'm sure that they're growing their earnings, but I don't know how much they're growing the stock. We have to go back and look at them. But they've been growing their dividends nicely. But at the same time, the price, I think, is just way too high. Yeah? For capital gains. Exactly. That's right. You buy it for $10, you sell it for $15 or whatever. That's called capital gains. I did. In other words, I want the stock price to go up too. Growth and income. You heard growth and income. But if you ask me, did I buy any speculative stocks? I did. And they all went up and then they went down. Every single one of them. That's the thing. I looked such a loser when it came to but ask me about the growth and income stocks, the ones that use this model. Remember I called it my Las Vegas fund, my Vegas fund. And it lived down to its name, right? I bought Alliance Pharmaceuticals. And they're awesome. They're based here in San Diego. They were fabulous, fantastic,
tremendous. They make synthetic blood. And it was working. And then there was the phase 3 trial when, when people need serious infusions of blood, it's usually because there's some kind of trauma. They've lost a lot of blood in an accident, a gunshot or whatever. Or they're going through heart transplant or something like that. So in this population, you expect a certain number of people to die. It's just going to happen, right, statistically. So they had a control group, and then they had the test group. In the test group, the number of people who statistically were supposed to die died. In the control group, nobody died. So the FDA said, throw it out, start all over again. Alliance Pharmaceutical ran out of money and went bankrupt. Advanced Tissue! Advanced Tissue! Another San Diego awesome biotechnology company. How many people have heard about diabetes? Diabetes is rampant. There are over 200, 300 million people in the world who have diabetes. They don't even know it. In the advanced stages of diabetes, do you know what happens? Starts to happen? Yeah. Things get bad. Eyesight goes away. You start losing weight. You don't have any energy whatsoever. Plus, your skin starts to slough off because it's starving, right? It's dying. And it's usually the worst is the feet, right? The extremities. And so Advanced Tissue made synthetic tissue. And it worked. And they went bankrupt. And the stock fell. And then Smith & Nephew, which is a company based in the UK, wound up buying it. So you see, yeah, I have bought. Why have you asked me if I bought speculative stock? Yes, I've bought speculative stock. And they've broken my heart. Right? When I bought. What do you think? Guess who you think was my best stock? Guess who you think?
Philip Morris.
Philip Morris, right? Philip Morris. Don't tell my wife, okay? Philip Morris was. I sold you're going to think I'm crazy, but I sold all my stocks during the Great Recession to buy a property. And I've never bought another stock, individual stock yet, because I don't have any time. But I still love to go and look at them all. And I'm interested. I want to buy Visa eventually when it gets cheap. I want to buy Nike when it gets cheap. I want to buy FedEx when it gets cheaper. I want to buy, what else? There's one thing I really want to buy. 3M's a good one. Would you buy Visa? Right now, MasterCard looks better, actually. You young folks, you don't carry around cash, do you? No? What do you use? Debit or credit card. And you know what? There's a whole lot more of you in China. They're doing the same thing. And Visa and MasterCard, they can't wait to get into China. And China's going, no, not yet. We'll get to it.
They don't even use cards in China. They just
use your cell phone. Yeah, they use your cell phone. But they'll still use the card. Don't worry. They'll use it. I don't know. Maybe not. You decide. So it sounds bizarre, doesn't it? But I'll tell you what's been more profitable. The real estate. The real estate's been more profitable, but it's a pain in the ass. You want to... What?
In China?
No, here. Real estate. Here. In San Diego. You want to take your... not all of them. Some of them you want to give a hug, but others you want to squeeze their necks until their eyes pop out. The tenants. Are you going to buy real estate? Do you have the down payment? How much do they want for a down payment? 25%. If you buy it for rental. If you buy it for yourself, yeah. 5, 10%, 20%. But if you want to buy it for a rental property, they want 25%. So $400,000 house, condo, how much do you need?
$100,000.
Plus another 10 or so. That's the problem with real estate. Okay, number 5. Number 6. Did I answer your question? Yeah. No. Did I answer it, though?
Yeah,
the speculative stocks, I always did well at first, and then they all crashed and burned. Everyone? Yeah, everyone. The growth and income stocks? Yeah. Okay, anyway, let's continue. All right, number 6. Yum Brands. Have you ever heard of them?
KFC.
Kentucky Fried Rat, Pizza Crap, and Taco Smell. Right? And they were kicking McDonald's butts in China. In fact, they still are, but now it's a different company. They split them in two. China, there's Yum China, and there's Yum. We're looking at just Yum. They're carrying stock for $95.40. Okay, do you want to do this? Let's do this on paper first, and then we can use the spreadsheet. So we're 2019. Okay, so put down the years. And that's $1.68. 2020, $1.80. 2021. Oh, by the way, my wife doesn't want me to buy stocks like this either, McDonald's or Yum! Brands. Don't buy it. Yes, dear.
Why? She doesn't want me to buy McDonald's or Yum or something like that. Why not? Because it's not healthy. So that's called socially conscious. And we look at value line, or we figure, we don't know, we think it's going to be $110. So $1.92 plus $110 is? $1.92 plus $110? $111.92, right? Now, what's our required rate of return? 11%. So go to your price, I mean your present value tables. So these, what did I, oh, these are the years, duh. I'm sorry, I'm going to discount the future cash flows. And then the PVM, Puerto Vallarta Marina, 0.901, 0.8, 0.12, 0.754. Does everybody see where we got those numbers? No. The present value tables, right.
731?
731. Okay. I know, 5 sounds a little high, yeah. So now you multiply these together and then sum them up. And meanwhile, I'll go run over and grab another spreadsheet and take a look at it. Oh, poo. Turn them on. Turn it off. I hate doing it. Okay. Copy of. Okay. Okay, cash flows, $1.60, $1.80, $192 equals $192 plus $110.
You said you always three numbers
after the decimal. Yeah, you don't have to worry. Don't worry about. Yeah, that's when we do percentages. Here, if you want to round up or round down, just get close. Now, here we want to be very, very. What's the word? Messy. We don't want. We want to be fuzzy. $95. And the only the rate of return 10, 11%. Okay, what'd you get? About $84.80. Yeah, that's what I got. So what is this? $1.51 or so. If you want to put the rest of the card, you can go right ahead. $1.48 and $81.81. And so you get about $84.80 or so, but it's selling for $95. So should we reasonably expect $11%? I don't think so. And that's what I keep telling people when they say, what do you think is going to happen in the next few years? I think, we'll probably get about 5, 6%. So let's go back and turn the projector on. So I ran through and I made a copy of the copy. What is this? Copy of. And I put in Yum. $1.68, $1.80, $1.11.92. By just putting in 11% here, the spreadsheet does all the calculations. So maybe let's say, let's go down to say 8%. If we get 8%, now we're looking at $92. 7%, there's 90, there's about that, 7%. And if we go look at the internal rate of return on the next page, we have to pay, what was it, $95? What was the price? $95.40. Ay, Paquito. Fat fingers. And it's saying, forget it. Oh, no, I got the wrong. Why didn't it it's supposed to take these numbers from the other page, you goofball? My apologies. I'm messing up. I'm messing up. It's supposed to take the... Here, these... Copy these to this page. Oh, forget it. Oh, yeah. No, minus 95. This is the wrong one. I messed up. My apologies. I got the wrong one. Forget it. There you go. Oh, forget it. I got the wrong one. My apologies. Get out of here. Get out of here. So, get out of here. Okay. So you're telling me you want to get out of here. Is that what you're telling me? When all the papers start getting squashed. I just forget it. Okay, want to do the last one now? Number 8? Okay, number 8. Now, here's a real company, folks. Who is this? BioLace, right? BioLace. They're based up in Irvine somewhere, up in Orange County. And they make teeth whitening stuff. Really, they do. Believe it or not. Look them up. Selling for about $2.51 a share. They're not making any money, not paying any dividend. What? Number 7. Can you tell your joke? Just wanted to see if you guys are watching. And so, you know, they should be very profitable in the future, very popular. So the average estimate from the analyst on Yahoo is $3.38. So we think it's going to be $6 a share in 3 years. Oh, I'm sorry, in 5 years. $6 a share in 5 years, and we want at least 14%. Right? We're going to buy something this speculative. We want 14%. So how do we do this? No dividends, right? No dividends. Go across to 14%, down 5 years.
I know, it's kind of boring.
0.519, says Jonathan. Is he right? Was that Jonathan? No, it was Adriano. I'm sorry, Adriano. $6 times 0.519. $3.11. You see where he got this number? 5 years at 14%. Go across 14%, down 5 years, and you should see 0.519. Right? So multiply $6 times 0.519, you get $3.11. It's selling for $2.51. The model is saying?
$6
times. Yeah, we're thinking $6 in 5 years. And we'll be happy with 14%. So the model is saying, yeah, but what can we say about this company?
Speculative.
Very speculative. Right? It might be $6, it might be 60 cents. So that's, now you understand, right? You all understand. So study hard, take the exam, contact me if you're having problems with Canvas. I'll be around all week long. I have a lot of online students taking exams too. Scan it in. Contact me if you want to drop it off or bring it back next week. Be awesome because we want you to be the best stock pickers the world has ever seen. I know, I'm kind of bizarre, aren't I? Who do you have as your brokerage firm?
Huh?
Who do you have as your brokerage firm?
I have my mutual fund, the one that I showed you, and then I'm just using Robinhood.
Robinhood. Everybody uses Robinhood, yeah.
Can I also scan it?
Yeah. Make sure
it's clear.
You put your name, class, assignment in the email, because we get dozens of emails and I lose them. Okay, who snuck in late?